That's why my eyes looked familiar. I had never worn a fake beard and eyebrows, and unfortunately had no idea until it was too late that I was severely allergic to the bonding cement, a latex spirit gum, which left my skin raw and burning. I'm sure you were horrified when you saw me, considering you were on alert for a possible plague. Langdon could only stare, recalling now how Dr. Marconi had scratched at his beard before Vyantha's attack left him lying on the hospital floor, bleeding from the chest. To make matters worse, the man said, motioning to the bandages around his chest, my squib shifted while the operation was already underway. I couldn't get it back into position in time, and when it detonated, it was at an angle, broke a rib and left me badly bruised. I've been having trouble breathing all day. And here I thought you had the plague. The man inhaled deeply and winced. In fact, I think it's time for me to sit down again. As he departed, he motioned behind Langdon. It looks like you have company anyway. Langdon turned to see Dr. Sinsky striding up the cabin, her long silver hair streaming behind her.
Professor, there you are.
The director of the WHO looked exhausted, and yet, strangely, Langdon detected a fresh glint of hope in her eyes. She's found something.
I'm sorry to have left you,
Sinsky said, arriving beside Langdon.
We've been coordinating and doing some research.
She motioned to the open cockpit door.
I see you're getting some sunlight.
Langdon shrugged. Your plane needs windows. She gave him a compassionate smile.
On the topic of light, I hope the provost was able to shed some for you on recent events.
Yes, although nothing I'm pleased about.
Nor I,
she concurred, glancing around to make sure they were alone.
Trust me, she whispered. There will be serious ramifications for him and for his organization. I will see to it. At the moment, however, we all need to remain focused on locating that container before it dissolves and the contagion is released.
Or before Sienna gets there and helps it dissolve.
I need to talk to you about the building that houses Dandolo's tomb.
Langdon had been picturing the spectacular structure ever since he realized it was their destination. The Museum of Holy Wisdom.
I just learned something exciting,
Sinsky said.
We've been on the phone with a local historian, she said. He has no idea why we're inquiring about Dandolo's tomb, of course, but I asked him if he had any idea what was beneath the tomb. And guess what he said? She smiled. Water.
Langdon was surprised. Really?
Yes. It sounds like the building's lower levels are flooded. Over the centuries, the water table beneath the building has risen, submerging at least two lower levels. He said there are definitely all kinds of air pockets and partially submerged spaces down there.
My God. Langdon pictured Zobrist's video and the strangely lit underground cavern on whose mossy walls he had seen the faint vertical shadows of pillars. It's a submerged room.
Exactly.
But then, how did Zobrist get down there? Sinsky's eyes twinkled.
That's the amazing part. You won't believe what we just discovered.
At that moment, less than a mile off the coast of Venice, on the slender island known as the Lido, a sleek Cessna Citation Mustang lifted off the tarmac of Nicelli Airport and streaked into the darkening twilight sky. The jet's owner, prominent costume designer Giorgio Venci, was not on board, but he had ordered his pilots to take their attractive young passenger wherever she needed to go.